Red Dot Zeros, LPVO Zeros, and Offset Red Dot Zeros. This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday, our first question comes from Nathan. And Nathan asks, short barrel rifle zeros, do you use a traditional 25 to 300 or a 50 to 250 for your duty guns? And then Joseph asks, piggybacking off that, what is the validity of running a short barrel rifle with a BDC reticle likely intended for a 16-inch barrel? Well, guys, great questions. First of all, I've talked about BDC reticles or bullet drop compensated reticles quite a bit on this channel, but mainly in relation to precision rifles. I find that they are not really a good idea on precision rifles because the company that makes the BDC reticle, when they decide to etch that reticle, it's etched for a specific bullet going a specific speed in a specific environmental condition. And they try to calculate what will be the best for everyone out there and what is kind of the most intermediate thing that will work for the most amount of people. Well, that probably is not what you are shooting in your rifle. And with precision rifles, we are really trying to hit relatively small targets at a pretty good distance in a wide variety of conditions. So you just really end up throwing out the BDC reticle anyway, having to build a dope chart anyway. And in that case, why not just go with a standard mil reticle that is going to be easier to use overall? Or an MOA reticle if that's the way you want to go. Well, when we start talking about short barrel rifles or CQB rifles or things that are designed to be shot in close to intermediate ranges, the picture changes a little bit because we are not worried about super finite precision with these rigs. We are generally worried about engaging targets very quick and the targets are generally moving. So if that's the case, then a BDC reticle can help you not have to refer to dope charts, not have to dial elevation onto your scope. Usually you can just flash that reticle up, you can get a good estimate of what the range is at, and then you can get your appropriate hold and you can fire. And if you are off, you know, a minute or two, then it may not make a difference at the engagement ranges that these guns are needed at, especially when we're talking about short barrel rifles, which are generally short because they are more maneuverable in close quarter battle type situations. So BDC reticles actually end up being much more useful on these kind of rigs than they would on a long range precision. Now the gun I have sitting here in front of me, this is my current patrol rifle. This is a SIG Virtus. It is a 11.5-inch barrel, chambered in 5.56. I've got a Silencer Co. Saker K suppressor on here. I've got a Cloud Defensive Owl. I've got a Bushnell AR Optic 1-4x24 in an Alamo 4-star D-Lock mount. And I have the stock pistol grip, stock butt stock. It is a folding stock, which is kind of nice to make it nice and compact for working inside the car or getting in and out of the car. It has the standard MCX Virtus fire control in here because the trigger that comes in the Virtus is a very, very nice trigger. So I haven't needed to swap this out. I do have another MCX that we're testing the TriggerTech MCX trigger on that has been working great. But for the duty gun, I am running the factory setup because I have quite a bit of trigger time on the factory trigger and it works just fine. Overall, this rig is great. The silencer on the end of the 11.5-inch barrel means if I have to discharge this close to barriers, close to walls, inside buildings, then it is not going to irreparably destroy my hearing. It's not going to be comfortable because you're still going to get the crack of the bullet. You're still going to get some muzzle blast out of it since we're just running the K. We're not running a big, huge suppressor with a ton of volume, but overall it does the job very well. Now the Bushnell AR Optic 1-4 has their BTR1 reticle in it, which is designed for a 55 to 62 grain 223 bullet, and I believe their velocity is set at 2900 foot per second. So that is what the BDC in here is designed for. And it is a 100 to 500 yard BDC, which I don't really see using this rifle much beyond 500 yards. This is mainly a law enforcement type rig, and I am using it inside the city. So the chances of me needing to make a 500 yard shot are very, very, very small. However, a 100 to 200, maybe even stretching out to 300-yard shot is not absolutely unheard of due to some of the buildings, some of the warehouses, some of the way our blocks and streets are set up. I don't want to have to get any closer to something that is trying to kill me if I don't have to. So being able to reach out, and again, that's where the variable optic comes in, is a nice thing to have. Now, we did do a full review on this optic, so I'll go ahead and throw that in a little call-out tag, and I'll drop it in the link in the description below, so you can check out the full review of this optic. I have thousands of rounds under it so far, so I'll hear people a lot of times say, well, it's just a Bushnell 1-4, and it's a relatively inexpensive optic, but I have a lot of time on it, and it hasn't failed me yet, so I've got a good deal of confidence in it. It spends most of its time banging around in the trunk of a police car. It's all scratched up. It's rashed up. The only thing that I really dislike about it is the turrets are a little bit easy to turn, so I have to make sure every time I get it out that my turrets are set to zero and that they don't click off. So that is one concern with this. Now, the new Bushnell AR Optic 1-8, it is a second focal plane reticle, whereas this is a first focal plane, and it has capped turrets. If they would put the capped turrets on the 1-4 first focal plane, I would really, really be happy. But they haven't made it. This one still has exposed 1/10 mil click turrets. So that's where we are with this. But this reticle is actually designed to be zeroed at 100 yards. So for the BDC to line up somewhat with what the cartridge I'm firing is, I have to zero at 100 yards. Now, for most intents and purposes, and I've done this out at our local range, we have some relatively large gongs at 100, 200, 300, and 380-ish yards at the end. And with those gongs, I can take this rifle with my duty ammunition, zeroed at 100 yards, and I can just run down the line and ring all of the gongs, which those gongs are about a little bit smaller than torso size. So it's not an issue to make sure that I'm able to get hits with this. But if you want to be absolutely precise, then what you need to do is you need to go ahead and zero the gun for 100 yards if you're using a 100-yard zeroed BDC. And then you need to actually shoot paper at 200, 300, 400. You need to measure your offset. You need to come up with a dope chart for it, depending on if your clicks are in mils or your clicks are in MOA, and tape it somewhere on the gun. That way, if you are in a situation where you need to make a precise shot, then you can get the range, you can dial it on, and you can be good to go. I would go even a little bit step further and contact the manufacturer. Usually they'll post it on the website or in the operator's manual, but contact the manufacturer of your optic and actually get the subtensions of the reticle. Bushnell does a good job of this. It's actually in their manual, so they will tell you how many minutes of angle from the center of the reticle to each one of the steps of their BDC is. So you can very easily build a dope chart just like you would for a precision rifle to know either where to hold in the reticle or what to dial to get you dead on for each one of those steps. This scope actually excels with that because I do have exposed turrets that are zero or resettable, so I can reset the zero on the turrets. So if I wanted to, I could dial this up to 4 power and use it like a 4 power precision rifle scope and actually dial my elevation to get a very precise shot. And I can do that just by either pulling out my standard ballistic table or my iPhone or even a Kestrel and get the exact ballistic solution for the distance. So that kind of gives me the best of both worlds with this. Although, again, this is a short barrel rifle. It is not optimized for shooting out to that distance. I'm starting to lose more energy because I'm missing about 5 inches worth of barrel. So it's custom built for the intermediate ranges. So you really need to take in consideration what you have going on. Now, again, we'll talk about this as a first focal plane reticle. That really is my preference because I don't have to worry about where it's dialed. Now, you really can't see the subtensions in the ballistic reticle or the marks in the ballistic reticle very well when you're at one power. I get a coarse ring and then I get a stick of fine dots inside it, even when I turn the illumination on. Really, you need to ramp the power up to actually be able to see the subtensions and use them well. The advantage of the first focal plane, though, is for CQB work, when it's down on one power, I don't have all these marks and lines and numbers and things that are cluttering my view. I just have a really, really coarse dot with a fine dot in the middle of it, so I can throw it up on target really quickly and get on really fast. So for that, I like it. When you go into the second focal planes, like I have the 1:8x24 Bushnell AR optic here that has the second focal plane reticle, no matter what power you have it, you have this big cluttered jumble of numbers and marks right in the middle of your reticle. Now, when you power it down to one power, you're just worried about that one dot right in the center because none of the rest of them are in proper locations. If you try to use one of the other holdovers as they were intended, you're going to miss horribly. You have to be up on that optic at 8 power to actually be able to use the holdovers as they were intended. Now you can go to 4 power and you can use half the holdover, twice the holdover. You can go in and do all the conversions and get that lined out in your brain, but chances are when you need it, you're not going to be able to call that up and utilize it. So that's my preference for first focal plane optics on these type of guns. I've talked to other shooters that have the exact opposite. They really prefer the second focal plane, so it's really going to come down to your preference and how you intend to use the optic. Now, when we switch over to different reticles, like say, for instance, the Primary Arms ACSS Raptor reticle, that one has a chevron and it has hold dots below it, and it has a horseshoe as well. But that reticle is actually designed to be zeroed at the 5200. So they figured out that most people that are shooting ARs are going to use that 5200 zero, so that's where they put the tip of the chevron, and then the base of the chevron is 300 for their setup. Again, everything that I just discussed about the BTR-1 reticle applies to that one, except you're going to zero at 50. So that's really going to be the difference reticle to reticle. You'll need to look at your operator's manual, and you'll need to see where they recommend zeroing that and where the subtensions are from that, and then you're going to have to do some homework with the ballistic calculator and come up with exactly what you want to do. Now, when we put the low magnification variables aside and we start talking about just absolute standard red dot sights, I ran standard red dot sights for a very long time. Again, I prefer that 50 to 200 yard zero because when we are not able to have marks to know where we're going to hold farther out, being able to have an aiming point that gives you the maximum distance is really a good idea. I know with the 50 to 200 where I need to hold if I'm inside at contact ranges, and usually you're holding a couple inches high on the target to be able to place the bullet where you want to place the bullet because of that optic high over the bore. But with the 50 to 200, for those of you that are not familiar, with a 50-yard zero on a standard AR-15, then the scope is above the bore. So as the bullet comes out of the bore, those lines, the line of sight and the point of aim, will intersect at 50 yards. I'm sorry, the line of sight and the line of the bore will intersect at 50 yards. So that will be your first zero. After that, the line of sight obviously is going straight, but the bullet, because of the angle of the bore when you launched it, is still going up. And then gravity starts to pull it back down somewhere between 50 and 200 yards. And then the bullet is dropping now, and it will cross that line of sight again somewhere around 200. Now, this is all estimated. This is all just rule of thumb, which I absolutely hate rules of thumb. But when you are talking for instance, a carbine class with a wide variety of carbines, wide variety of optics, wide variety of ammunition, then a 50-yard zero will get you on and get you working out to around 200 yards. So again, we're working with coarse. We're not working with finite stuff. You wouldn't want to take this and then go try to do 400-yard headshots. It's going to be very difficult. But that, for a red dot where you only have one point of aim, that is what I found is the good general zero. Now, if you really want to get precise with it and you want to get the most engagement range that you can, then you're going to need to pull out a ballistic calculator. You're going to need to build a profile for your gun. So you'll need to get the exact muzzle velocity of your rifle shooting that load. You'll need to get the ballistic coefficient of the bullet, and you'll need to build a profile just like you would with a precision rifle. Now, once you've got that profile built, most ballistic calculators will let you calculate max point blank. Now, what max point blank is that is a dope setting that will allow you, it's a zero basically, that will allow you to engage the vital zone of your target. So you'll have to set the diameter of the vital zone for the longest distance possible. So it will give you the greatest distance that you can actually engage. This is really useful because if you have an odd setup, if you don't have a 5.56 or you're shooting a strange 223 load or you're trying to do this for a 308, then you can go in and calculate that max point blank range and find out exactly where you need your zero to be so that you can hit from contact all the way out, and the max point blank will tell you what the farthest distance you can hold, holding dead on, to be able to hit that vital zone. So it's a very, very useful tool. I think probably a little bit later on, maybe in a month or so, we will actually do a video with a carbine where we go out and do max point blank with a standard red dot sight. And it should be fairly interesting because it's not quite the norm. Everybody likes to go with the 50 to 200 because it's quick, it's easy. You don't have to calculate everything, but actually shooting the velocity of your gun, taking all that information, taking all the stuff that we normally do in precision rifle shooting and translating that over to your carbine, since you probably already have the tools to do it, that will give you the most effective range to be able to utilize the carbine, and it will give you the most accuracy if you're just working with a standard red dot. If you are working again with something where you can turn the turrets and you have a usable reticle on it, then all the same rules that apply for a precision rifle can apply to that if you take the time to do it. And I would encourage you to go out and take the time to do it. So that is what I would recommend for your standard red dot and your low magnification variable sights. Now we've got John that asks, just wondering, was the best range to zero a offset red dot on an AR-15 platform? Main optic is a 3-18 Mark VI loophole. So that brings into a little bit different setup, but the same exact principle. So if you picture this rifle here with a 3-18 loophole on it, but then off here at a 45 degree angle, you have a mini red dot sight on it. And the idea here is with the loophole, the lowest he can get to is 3 power. Say you were out here in Texas and you were doing a hog hunt and you were trying to hit a longer range target, and then all of a sudden one pops up, you know, right in 30, 40 yards, something like that. Well, you're not going to want to take the time to really goof around with your scope. You see them over there, you want to just be able to roll in. You've got your dot sight here, and boom, you engage. So you're all the way up here at 18, aiming at something way out there. You notice something close, you roll in and shoot. It's just that quick. There's not any messing with anything, not turning any turrets. So the red dot sights are really, really useful if you have to go from long range to close range targets. There are a lot of three gunners that use them. I've actually even seen some PCC guys that are running two different red dot sights, one for a long zero and one for a close zero. So it's kind of interesting the different things you can do with that. But what I would recommend, for the same reason we do a standard dot sight, and John's talking about an AR-15, so for the same reason that we zero a standard dot sight from 50 and 200 for that ballistic crossover, that's where I would put that red dot sight on the side, because that's going to give me close-in engagements. Again, you still have to remember that mechanical offset when you start coming inside of 50 yards. But it will give me the ability still to engage close-range targets in that 50-ish area. Now, obviously, if it's out there near 100, 200 yards, You're not going to use the red dot. You're probably going to use that primary optic to engage a 200-yard target. You're just going to be much more precise. But I think you would lose a lot of utility if you try to zero this thing in closer, like 25 yards, because then you're starting to get a little bit more finite. And if something happened to your primary optic and you needed to make a 200-yard shot, you're not really going to be able to do that without a significant holdover if you're zeroing at that 25. So 50 yards is still where I would go to with that offset red dot. Now, one thing to remember with an offset red dot, one thing I like about the 50 is 50 is still close enough that I can zero a rifle with a handheld or a prone shot. I don't have to bag the rifle in and put it on a bipod. So I can still roll the gun in, get a nice tight offhand position, and shoot a nice group at 50 yards with an offset red dot. Now, again, key is you need to roll the gun in when you're zeroing it. If the gun's got a bipod and you've got a rear bag, you do not want to set the gun down, bipod and rear bag, and zero with the gun straight up on the offset, because that's not how you're going to shoot it. When you're going to shoot it, you're going to roll the gun, and the optic is going to be directly over the bore. If you try to zero it with the optic off to the side of the bore, you're going to get a funky offset. And so that's going to screw everything up. Plus, when you roll the gun inboard and you bring that optic up to 12 o'clock, usually most of the mounts that are out there, the way they cant the optic means that your elevation and windage adjustments are actually going to be elevation and windage adjustments. Now, you can bag the gun in and get that zero, or you can use a bipod. You just have to make sure your bipod's got enough lean, or that you adjust the legs enough that you can get that optic at the 12 o'clock position. Alternately, you can shoot it, bag it, and then dial the red dot to where it's on the dot to save ammo if you need to. But the key thing is that optic needs to be in the same orientation that it's going to be when you shoot it, because that pretty much tricks the system into thinking that the red dot is mounted at 12 o'clock because it's still directly over the bore. Now, depending upon what mount and what system, etc. you're using, it may not be absolutely perfectly over the bore, but again, we're talking about carbine ranges, we're talking about quick shots, so it should be close enough. So that is just my recommendation on how to set these things up. Really, like anything optics related, you can go as deep into it as you really want to go into it, or you can go down and dirty. The bullet drop compensators in these are good enough to really get you on a torso size plate at the ranges they want. More and more of these reticles are getting really nice about putting extra features in, especially things like the ACSS Raptor, where it's got features that help you estimate very rapidly how far out your target is. So you don't have to go dig out a laser rangefinder. You can just look at features in the reticle that are going to tell you approximately how far your target's out or what mark that you're going to engage with it, and then drive on. One of these days, I'm actually going to get one of the new primary arms 1-6 ACSS Raptors in. I've seen a lot of stuff out there on them. They seem to be fairly robust optics. But again, I've shot this guy long enough on enough different rigs that I have really become a fan of this. I just really wish that Bushnell would offer turret covers that I can screw on here to protect these turrets, or some kind of push-pull locking setup. That would even be more ideal, so I can lock down that elevation. So that's going to do it for this Mail Call Mondays. Now, I've offered my opinion. There are tons of ways to do stuff. So as always, I'd love to hear from you guys. What distance do you zero your carbine red dot sights at? And how useful do you find the BDCs in low magnification variables like we have here? Please go ahead and drop a comment in the comment section down below, or send it to us over on Facebook or Twitter. As you guys know, because I'm holding a scary, in this case, gray rifle in the thumbnail, then this video is going to be demonetized. So if you guys want to help keep this content rolling, please come check us out over on Patreon. I'm trying to get better about posting more content over on Patreon that is locked down only for our patrons. So if you want to see what's going on behind the scenes, then please check us out over there. And if you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Click that little bell icon to be notified when we release new content. And until next time, get out and shoot.